Hey guys, nice to see you again. This is Richard Sachs. I'm host on Lost Arts Radio, and we're live worldwide now on the internet. And you know, if you've been following us the last couple of weeks, we've been having some of the major guests from the Red Pill Expo who are planning to get over to the expo on the 10th and 11th, which happens to be now and tomorrow. And I thought, well, what would be the best thing we could do to follow up with the build-up we've been doing? And I thought, why don't we just hack right into the main expo while it's happening with one of the main stars over there? And I thought, wow, what if we could get the founder of the UI Media Network, which is a channel that you want to listen to that is run by Tim Ray, started by Tim Ray, the host of Frequency Wars and Awaken Atlanta, I think it's called. We'll verify that I got the name right. And his presentation sounds really interesting. It's going to happen tomorrow. Still a chance for you to hear it, even no matter where in the world you are, just by the live streaming option like I did this morning. And you'll be able to hear it. His presentation is going to be Sleeping Masses Are Finally Waking Up, and How to Speed That Up, How to Speed Up the Process, which is really like one of the most important questions in the world right now, and especially time sensitive. It has to happen soon to be effective in this chapter of life on our particular planet. So we've got Tim Ray with us, missing a fancy dinner just to be with you right now, which I appreciate very much. And we're going to have an interesting talk. It's going to go by in a flash, as always, but let's see how much we can get in. Welcome, Tim, and it's nice to see you again.
Richard, same here. Thank you so much for doing this. Getting this truth out is, these days, is a luxury and often not an opportunity to share truth. More people are concerned about the appearance of truth than actual truth. And I think that's a testimony for what you do on your radio and everyone who supports you. So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, sure. Now, I want to bring in, as usual, we've got listeners from everywhere, and many of them may not have had the opportunity to know about you yet and listen to your shows, which they need to start doing. And why don't we go back a little bit in time to say how you got interested in all this kind of unusual stuff and what led you to create UI Media Network and what's involved in that. And then we'll talk about what you're doing now and what you're expecting to happen at the expo.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I've always been an open-minded soul from a teenager days there, but really it all kind of started when I created the United Intentions Foundation back 10 years ago. And it's a foundation that offers resources and programs to assist people in understanding the power of their intentions and how to use that to help create inspired actions. And to me, it's an understanding level of all thoughts are physical properties, feelings have physical properties, and it's how we manifest from the field, right? And as a quantum physicist would say. But prior to that, I ran different businesses. I got lost in the matrix for many, many years, even though I always knew about our thoughts create our reality. But I just got lost up into getting married, kids, the houses, the jobs. And then I found myself really just discouraged watching what's going on in the world. This is years ago.
Right.
And seeing what's happening today, knowing today would come some point. And I was just creating other people's intentions. You know, I was creating their intentions by watching the news, by watching different incidents occur, and I was basically one of their pawns. And then at that point, I realized either I was going to build a bunker and go live down in it, right, because I had the means to,
yeah, or
I was going to do something about it. And hence, I created United Intentions Foundation, and it's one of those ideas that came to me in reference to you know, out of necessity, you know, build it and they will come type of idea. I didn't know what I was building. And then, of course, we wanted to get the good word out. And then it kind of fell into the UI Media Network. I started doing some live radio, and then that grew from there. And here we are today around the world.
Yeah, wow. And so what do you do on your radio shows?
Well, we have a couple of shows on there. I host about two shows, Frequency Wars and Awaken Atlanta, with my co-host Shannon McVeigh, who you guys met a little while ago.
Right.
And then we have other hosts who come on our shows who have their own programs. So we create a platform for people to speak their uncensored truth. And that's one of the important things that we do. And I think like one of my favorite shows is, for my two favorite shows is Awaken Atlanta, which is more of a humorous, entertaining, but yet we talk about real issues and uncensored, and we talk about non-political in a non-political way. And then, of course, we have Frequency Wars, The Next Revolution, which I'll do some high-level guests from David Icke's to Bruce Lipton's to folks who really kind of the new thought leaders of the world who really are making a difference in our circles. You know, it may not be a mainstream media personality, but, you know, as you know, it's all propaganda for the most part. And that world's starting to see some shakes in it, you know, some breakdown. People are getting a little hip to really, they want that truth and uncensored truth. You know, they're tired of the being fed what people want to hear, the appearance of truth. They always want the real truth.
Right. So we'll go over this again at the end, but just so people know that it's really important to stay in touch with what we're all doing. And how do they listen to your shows? What's the best direct way to do that?
Sure. They could go on, we're on all different podcast platforms from Apple. We're also on Roku TV. They go to Roku TV as well. They could catch us on there under UI Media or UI Media channel. Okay. Best way to really catch all our shows, go to uimedianetwork.org. UIMediaNetwork.org is the letter UI for United Intentions, UIMediaNetwork.org, and you'll catch all the different shows, and we're putting some real exclusive content in there in addition to.
Okay. So the first day of the expo is coming to a conclusion at this point, I guess. I'm not sure if there's still Eastern time. It's 3 hours later than where I am.
Yes. Yes. So
what happened today? What did you get to see and what did you go to? And
sure. I was periodically doing some interviews, and we had a lot of different guests come up. We had Mickey Willis was there. He had a great story about his going from socialism to the reality check here. David Icke called in from England, and he was doing Q&A all day long. Alex Newman had his presentation about the cashless society, how we're going into, you know, of course, you know, we can't use coins anymore because they're all full of COVID-19 on, right?
Yeah, plus they forgot how to make coins recently. Yeah. It's easy to forget stuff like that.
I know, right? Well, you know, there's no silver or gold to it, so there's no sense of having it anyway. Right. So I understand that.
They lost their source of scrap metal or something.
So it was just fascinating. And tomorrow we got Del Bigtree coming on. Cynthia McKinney will be talking about the politics. I go off at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to tell you what, I am sharing something that's never been shared before. And it's, I truly believe, and I've been studying this for 30 years now. I knew this day would come for a long time ago. When I was taken back, I was surprised how it came in through healthcare. I didn't see that coming, but I knew the crisis was coming at some point to bring in the new normal, which is, you know, surveillance and control and the new world order agenda there has nothing to do with our health or concerns for that. Right. And so I'm going to be discussing and rolling out a plan, a worldwide plan, not just here in America, that I truly believe a real solution that could stop this tyranny in its tracks and wake up the rest of the sleeping masses. So, and it's a bold plan, but it's definitely a simple plan. And I'll share that. I don't want to give too much away because I want people to wake up 8 o'clock in the morning Eastern time with me tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. That should be easy. So, people need to sign up for the live stream if they're not already there, right?
Yeah, redpillexpo.org. Or you go to UI Media Network, go to uimedianetwork.org, put our code in there, and I think there's some opportunities there as well. So,
okay, excellent. So what can you say without giving things away about how you see what's going on in the world right now and what the challenges are, you know, why it's urgent and things like that?
Yeah, it's extremely urgent. We're at the 11th hour now. And I'll just say one thing here is that we've been in a car crash since March, and the car's flipped up in the air. And it hasn't landed yet. People are still confused. They don't know what's going on. And a lot of folks think in their minds that when this car finally falls to the ground, it's going to land in a haystack, or it's going to land perfectly where it was before, and then you could go back to the way life was. And
just keep driving.
We all know when the car finally lands, that's hovering in the rolling in the air over and over again, it's not going to be pretty when it does land. And so it's a psychological warfare we've been under for not just in the last 7 months, but for decades, you know. And I think that if that gets too loud, let me know. I don't know how loud that is there.
Yeah, we're okay so far.
Okay, so it's for decades. This and it was planned out by the same people who are involved in sharing the plan of what they need to do to keep us in this type of level of tyranny. And so it's the hen, it's the foxes running the hen houses, and some people are waking up to it. And I think this is, once you learn what their psych game is, and they're using everything, they're using disinformation programs, cognitive dissonance campaigns, and it is really sick, unfortunately, and insidious, the level we're able to go to get their agenda across. And it's an agenda of slavery. It's not an agenda of uniting the world in the name of love.
Yeah, some people might say, you know, I'm trying to include people who are not up to date on all this stuff, and they might say, well, you're talking about control. That's to keep us safe, right? So why is that so bad?
You know, that's what's brilliant about their plan. I'll give them some credit there, the cabal there, because it was well done, well thought through, this health, because they know how, you know, how many germaphobes and hypochondriac people are to some degree. Right. And when it comes to your health, people are going to compromise liberties, you know, and as I think it was Benjamin Franklin or Thomas Jefferson said, when you give up your freedom, you neither get safety nor liberty, right? So, and that's what's happening right now. One, it's all a big, you know, this COVID-19, as you're really hearing at the Red Pill and everyone, all these doctors, Dr. Kaufman coming in, all the rest weeks, they're telling you how, you know, there's just, you know, you don't have to create COVID deaths if it's a true pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
This is no pandemic. This has just been the crises that they needed to bring in the new normal, which is going to be deep state surveillance and control.
Well, you know, they're constantly calculating with big staffs of people running the numbers and then analyzing our behaviors and everything. What will we accept and how far dumbed down are we? And yeah. I think what they calculated is we pretty much totally don't have any common sense anymore.
Yeah.
And that's what makes all this possible.
It's temporary, too. I mean, it's been over a long period of time, you know, the sodium fluoride we're drinking in our water, calcifying our pineal gland. It's the glyphosate food we're eating and the toxins, right. You know, the distractions with the technology. I get that. But this more so in the last 7 months, why people are really zombies, it's more so a simple process of, you know, of neuropsychology here. It's when you put yourself in fear, when you're in a sympathetic nervous reaction system, your frontal brain, which is your, as you know, which is your skill set, your leadership, your decisiveness, how you make your decisions, shuts down. And you can't have, especially now you throw cognitive dissonance in there, you can't think straight. You're in fear all the time. And when you're wearing a mask and you're worried about strangers, I mean, I was just at, Richard, at the store the other day, and this I mean, looks very healthy, young couple, maybe in their early 30s, has a little 5-year-old boy, of course, with his mask on. And I'm walking into the Publix store and I'm walking along saying hello. The little boy runs away from me like I'm some type of leper, right? And I look at the mother and the father, and the mother looks at me kind of apologetic. I'm like scared to death, or like a little dog, a fawn, you know, a deer in headlights there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I didn't say anything, but I'm thinking to myself, my God, what, do you know what you're doing to your child?
Yeah, that's going to take a long time to get over.
That child's going to need therapy just from the prolonged sense of fear. The child's brain's not even developed enough to be able to think straight, develop skill sets to even process what's going on.
Right, exactly. And that's not even looking at the oxygen deprivation as well.
And the CO2 buildup. Yeah, it's amazing to me. I'm totally shocked. I thought there'd be a lot more patriots waking up in the 7 months than there are now. I thought a lot more people would see through the BS.
So you're seeing patriots wearing masks and being terrified of the pandemic and things like that?
Well, I'm not so much seeing that here at the Red Pill. I don't think usually some elderly people have a couple of masks on, but I see the majority of people have no masks on. But in real life, in real time life in Georgia, I'll see most of these males wearing masks, and either they're doing it for their spouses or they're doing it because they truly are concerned. But my God, what happened to the alpha male here? You know, what happened to somebody who would look at logic and say, what are you guys doing? It seems like everybody has been beta tested, you know, and beta here, that nobody ever challenges authority anymore. It's just amazing to me.
Right. No, we've been really carefully trained, I guess, to not only obey, but absolutely trust your life to authority. Because, I mean, you know, Matt Dillon was trustworthy in Gunsmoke, and Chuck Norris did a great job in Walker, I guess,
Yeah,
right?
Walker,
Lone Wolf McQuade, all those people in office, they just give their lives to selflessly tell us the truth and work for us around the clock. And we all
If
know that.
only, if only the truth, if only the truth.
Well, I think the truth is emotionally threatening for a lot of people. And
yeah, and cognitive dissonance too. You know, I mean, you're getting mixed information. You know, you're seeing all our leaders. You're seeing the people who play sports. You're seeing everyone who we look up to on mainstream media. That is
right.
Wearing a mask, right? Social distancing, and you're seeing it. So, as regular citizens who are lost in that world of watching, you know, monkey see, monkey do. It's the appearance of truth. It's not the truth. If they appear that they're concerned, then maybe I should be concerned.
And movie stars too are doing the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. They're coming out and even promoting it. It's such a biggest, and most of them, I have to say, and I know most of them, they know it's bogus, especially in those leadership positions on media. They know it's bogus, but they're doing it to create this level of manipulation, unprecedented. I've never seen this level across the world, unprecedented. Everyone moving in the same direction, in sync. It's just phenomenal.
And in Hollywood, they do it for the privilege of not being thrown out of work.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. They got businesses now, normal businesses. I mean, my barber fired me. My dentist fired me because I refused to wear a mask in their services, you know. And can you imagine now when the vaccine comes out, how they're going to blackmail people that if you don't take the vaccine, because I think everything's going away.
It's going to be totally voluntary. You just can't go out of your house or go to the bank or use money or eat food.
You can't travel in airplanes. You can't do anything.
No, I don't. I think it may not be able to travel in a car. I mean, certainly once they get the driverless cars, and Uber is banning people now from being able to use their service. If they don't have a man. In fact, they were requiring somebody send in a picture of themselves wearing a mask if they even request a ride.
Oh, my God.
That was in the last couple of weeks.
Wow. You know, and listen. It would be one thing, Richard, if the mask stopped the virus from, but it doesn't stop a virus, not even close to it. There's been experiments.
Right.
Ben Swan exposed this on his investigative reporting a little while ago. He had every mask experiment with a virus since like 10 years ago to present 2020. And every one of the conclusions was there's no significant difference of wearing a mask or not wearing a mask if you're going to get a virus. Nothing.
Yeah.
So here it is. There's no even scientific proof that a mask works for a virus, but yet everyone has gone insane off this mask train.
And a lot of the people who are promoting the mask and saying it's terrifying because you're all going to die without it, off camera they don't wear it.
Yeah, absolutely right. Right. Absolutely. You can hang on here if you want. Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. It's just so unfortunate. You know, I don't know how else to explain it.
Yeah, it's a mentality that we've been taught over a long period of time.
Sure. But you know, it's that neural pathways. You know, it takes 66 to 90 days to create a new habit, right? Good habit, bad habit, and you know, people have been wearing masks for what, 7 months now?
Right,
they got past it 6 months ago. You know, so
they're March it started.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so they're already conditioned now already to feel normal with it on. When they wake up in the morning and they go start their day, it's more normal for them to put it on than not put it on. It's more normal for them to social distance than hug people. Where 7 months ago it was just the opposite. This is the power of our mind and neuroplasticity.
And this social distancing teaching is really powerful. I mean, it's setting an understanding in everybody's mind that you and everyone else are dirty and contaminated.
Yeah.
And don't get around other humans.
Yeah, it's another division. Now it's the healthy against the unhealthy. You know, but I'll tell you, some of the many solutions, and this is not the solution I'll be sharing tomorrow. It's more of a pragmatic solution. But I, as United, with the UI Media, United Intentions Foundation, I understand the power of our intentions. I truly believe our thoughts create our reality, co-create our reality every nanosecond. And it's hard to prove that other than with circumstantial evidence or reality unfolding in front of you. But to me, that's really the essence of how we, once we learn that gift, we can navigate through this three-dimensional world so much easier and clearer because we understand how our conscious mind in with our subconscious mind, when it's in sync, and usually they're not, but when it's in sync, it's very powerful creator.
I totally agree. And I think it as far as I can see, it offers a really essential tool that has to be used if there's going to be a good outcome to this whole thing. Because even if you do everything else right with brilliant solutions and the subconscious intention is against it, I don't think that works.
It does. In fact, the subconscious will win every time. It's you know, 100,000 times more powerful, you know,
right,
than a million times more powerful than your conscious mind. You know, it's, there's no measure on it. It's just,
yeah,
what we're creating, our reality we're creating, is being created through our unconscious mind or subconscious mind. That's our true reality being creating.
Right.
You know, what's really happening.
I want to get into that, but I just wanted to make one comment in respect to what you already said.
Sure.
The virus gets through the mask real easy. We know that. It's like a mosquito flying through a chain link fence. That's not a great mosquito protection to put up a chain link fence. I mean, I don't want to discourage anybody, but that's not really the best way to do it.
I would discourage them because actually they're harming themselves. They're taking too much CO2 and not enough oxygen. I would discourage you not to wear a mask
for
the virus.
But my point is, even if the mask worked 100% to protect you from a virus, and even if this pandemic were as bad as what they're saying, in a free country based on natural rights, unalienable rights, you still can't make people do these things because it takes away rights that come from God. They can't be taken away by authorities, human authorities, right? And I think a lot of the commentators are saying, well, this is ridiculous. They can't take away our rights because the death figures are wrong. And they're missing the whole point. It, regardless of the death figures, they can't take away your rights because they're natural rights and they belong to everybody in the world.
Nothing, at least in America, nothing is above the U.S. Constitution. There's no right. military law. There is no martial law. Nothing could ever be above the United States Constitution and Bill of Rights and everything else. Nothing can. Right. And because we're not enforcing it much anymore, we've been living on the residue of freedom for decades now, that, it's not being enforced. And then they get away with it because we're too scared to step up and challenge and support the idea of our rights.
Right. I mean, the founders said freedom comes above security, like you said.
Yeah.
I think that was Benjamin Franklin. And you either live or die, but you don't give up freedom. And so if there's a danger, if the government's honest, it just says, look, there's a danger and here's exactly what it is. These are the things that can protect you against it. Make your own choice.
Richard, real quick here. You know, this is the power of neuroplasticity and changing behaviors and belief systems. In fear, you can't think straight. But you're talking about a death rate less than seasonal flu with COVID-19.
Right.
CDC just came out with that.
But yeah.
I wish people just go back a year ago or 2 years ago, 3 years ago. They have lived with flus and colds all their lives, all their lives. Some people in the 70s, all their lives, and they live without wearing a mask, live without social distancing. And the only thing we really should have been focused on from the get-go was just building our immune system. That's all we had to do. Was build the immune system, focus on the solution, not focus on some temporary, non-effective process that does nothing for us and our health, because we can't go on tomorrow wearing masks and social distancing as a society. It will never work. It can't sustain itself.
It's not going to look like a human society, that's for sure.
No, absolutely.
But what you're saying is what they would do if the authorities, government and medical authorities, wanted you to be strong and healthy and have a clear mind. But they don't actually want that.
Yeah, you kind of have to look at everything that's going on, from the GMOs to the chemtrails to the sodium fluoride to the COVID.
They wouldn't do any of that stuff.
I know, but I'm saying, but you, when you look at all that, you get the feeling like, hey, you think somebody's trying to kill me?
If you had common sense still, you would think that in the first half a second.
Where's our spider senses here, man? Come on.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I think somebody's trying to kill me, honestly.
Yeah,
slowly. Somebody's trying to kill me.
It's just hard for people to grasp that because of what I think you mentioned, normalcy bias.
Yeah.
You know, that they have. So this intention issue that you brought up, for the vast majority that have no idea what you mean, I mean, they have the intention to go to the store at 10 o'clock I mean, they know about intention like that. And I'm not criticizing. It's just the way we've been sure. brought up in society and conditioned by the media and the entertainment and everything. They don't talk about this stuff in any real way. So for beginners, what are you talking about with intention? Because that's a primary element of your network, United Intention.
Well, you know, yeah, absolutely. You know, I often will say, well, an intention is a purposeful thought, right? People think it's a purposeful thought.
Okay.
It's something that has, you know, momentum behind our thought, right?
Yeah.
We at the foundation, we call it a knowing that hasn't happened yet. You know, and think about that, a knowing that hasn't happened yet, an intention there. So when you're intending something to happen, there's a certain knowing behind it. There's a more of a knowing than just having it, just a thought on something.
Okay.
And when you bring in the aspect of quantum physics and how the field and collapsing from the field into matter, then now you're talking about a knowing that hasn't happened yet. You're talking about a future event based on the initial thought or initial intention. So when people talk about, oh, the power of intentions, what does that mean? Well, if our thoughts have physical properties, which they do. I mean, a negative thought, if you break it on down in wave formation, has a frequency that's much wider, right? And a positive thought has a much faster frequency, right? Okay. Slower frequency for negative. So those are distinct, separate properties to a thought, a positive thought and a negative thought. Mm-hmm. And now we know, through people like Dr. Bruce Lipton, how these actual thoughts, when this wave formation goes inside your body, whether it's a longer frequency or shorter frequency, positive or negative, it affects our DNA. It triggers our strands of DNA that we never even knew that it had any purpose. They called the junk DNA. And so it actually mm-hmm. triggers that and then triggers the reaction of what we produce in our actual nucleuses in our cells. And this is hard biological science here. And so we know our thoughts affect our body differently. This is why when you think negatively all the time, a lot of people get ulcers, right? And what's an ulcer? An ulcer is not caused directly by a thought. I mean, ulcer basically is your negative thoughts lowers your immune system, then an ulcer appears, right?
Right.
So we know that, but we also know now that thoughts, physical property thoughts, because we can't see it, smell it, touch it, we don't give it any credibility because it's beyond our five senses, which our bandwidth is very limited to begin with. And a great example is when a dog hears a noise, Richard, you know, does it mean that noise is not there? I can't hear it. It's not in my frequency range, but it's still occurring in yes. somebody's frequency range.
Good point, right.
So same thing here. Thoughts affect outside. They go outside as well. And there's plenty of proof for that too. So once we realize thoughts have physical properties and interacts in our reality, just we can't see it with our five senses, doesn't make it discreditable. And
right.
people have to first kind of use their imagination, understanding if that is to be true, what I'm saying, then how we think may be very important on what happens and happens to us on a daily basis, because how we think may create and affect what our reality is appearing in front of us. Thoughts first, experience second. I don't know if that helped the viewers or confused them more, but that's...
No, I think you're completely right, and it's nice and clear, and it's interesting. It's great to get to meet you, because I don't usually run into somebody that is working on this kind of perception and using that for how it could be turned into solutions. But, and it seems to me, having looked at this intention thing for a long time too, is that there are thoughts running in the back of our mind all the time, nonstop, below the level of awareness in most people. And it's not, the thoughts are associated with things that happen in the so-called outside world, which is really a projection of the inside world, like you were saying. But it's the power of the thought to do something is proportional to the emotion connected to the thought. And I don't know if you agree with that or not. That's what I've found.
Oh, I do. That's why I think feelings play an important role in that. You know, I think feelings are the engine behind our thoughts too. Because when two or more people come, I always say, when two or more people come together in united intention, it's exponential, a physical exponential energetic experience.
Right.
And the more energy you put in, the more united thoughts put in, because it's similar frequencies, right?
Yeah.
And there is an exponential factor to it. And, you know, the Bible had it right all this time as well. You know, when two more people come together in prayer, that, you know, it's more powerful, right? So now that support, science supports that. And right. So this, I believe, is the solution now. And one of the reasons, and I'll be sharing this tomorrow too, one of the reasons the banking cartel, whatever label you want to give them, cabals, Sabatine, whatever it may be, why they're so effective. They're effective because of their ability to divide and conquer. Mm-hmm. And so that tells you, if that's their main weapon is to divide by everything, right? I mean, you think about, look at the United States. We're divided by so many different things, whether it's Republican, Democrat versus gays versus straights, or, you know, black versus white.
Genders, classes.
Genders, you know, whatever. And there's always going more becoming. But once you realize the solution is the opposite of dividing, is uniting, right?
That's an interesting concept, yeah.
Right? And so if our thoughts are that powerful, which they are, and we could learn how, if we can learn how to sync our unconscious thoughts, which are much more powerful than our conscious thoughts.
Yeah. I
mean, talk about 95% versus 5%. Right. And if we could learn how to sync our unconscious thoughts and our core beliefs into what we consciously want to experience. In other words, the unconscious mind is driving the car in the back seat. If we could learn how to put our hands on that front, on that steering wheel consciously, and we could start learning how we can start steering the car in a direction that we want to go in consciously, not what our subconscious wants to go in. And unfortunately, our subconscious can be very destructive because they grew up
with
a lot of bad habits.
It's programmed that way, for sure.
Oh, for 7 years, you know, programmed that way, yeah.
And your point that the subconscious is the powerful part could explain why people think it has no effect on the outside world, because they're aware of the conscious part. And a lot of times it's the opposite of what's happening on the outside.
Yeah, I could tell you people's if you want to look at people's, how they're manifesting unconsciously in the world, look what's happening in their lives.
Yeah,
that's the clue. That's the result.
Why people think they're not doing it, because it's stuff they don't like.
Yeah, but their unconscious mind is liking it, because that's what it knows.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're actually, people are talking about, oh, I wish I could learn to manifest, you know, the ones who understand. Well, you already did. You're doing it every day, right?
Yeah, you're doing it every day.
It's just you're doing it in a way that's not much fun.
But it doesn't have to be that for the rest of your life. I'll grant you this. There's no way we're going to learn how to, in this three-dimensional world where we are right now, to learn how we could manifest completely hand over fist without this, because we're in a much denser environment. And we're not running fully, our brain's not running fully on our conscious mind, you know, majority of it's unconscious. So we're never really going to have the ability to manifest every intention we want the way we want it. Our intentions will be manifested, but majority will always be the unconscious to manifest. However, with that being said, we can learn how to steer and navigate consciously by learning how to sync our subconscious intentions as well as our conscious intentions on many different, and there's a lot of different programs out there. We sell a program that does that for the we call threshold programming, that does it where you get embedded in your mind, and you can never change your core beliefs. It's always there, but you can create new neural pathways where if you're going to make a decision, usually ends up in some sabotage for yourself, but you create a new neural pathway that now, well, I'm pulling from a different place, which is much more positive environment. We implement and put in millions of new, we call them strategies, some at threshold consciousness to change your behaviors in time. And you see it change because you're loading up your subconscious mind with a new neural pathway to choose more positive direction to take your life in than you would if you didn't have that opportunity.
Right. So what form does this course take? I mean, how would people get a hold of that?
Well, just go to UI Media Network. Oh, it may not be on there. I think we're just, because it's a new site we're launching, UIMediaNetwork.org. It was on UnitedIntentions.org. I'll have to find out. But if you go there, you can leave a message and we'll get you to that. But we sell the threshold programming on there as well. And it we have all different versions for health vitality, for relationships, for the entrepreneur. We have a sleeping one, and it's really brilliant because it's all about frequency work. It's about entrainment, like our sleep pattern, which I use all the time. I mean, it puts them right into theta. It puts a different frequency in your left ear and a different frequency in your right ear, and trains in between the binaural beat between your brain, right? And it entrains the theta wavelength, right? The theta, which is your creative side. Right. And then you could go. You could put yourself. I'm sorry, not the theta. The deep delta. The other ones are in theta. This is a deep delta. And then what your brain does, your brain entrains to put yourself into deep delta. So now your brain's producing deep delta brain activity. And so now all of a sudden you're in healing mode. You're actually healing your body, and you're getting a good night's sleep and regenerating your body and not being a light sleeper. That's just one of the programs. But they're brilliant. It's science. It's hard science, you know.
This has to be related to what they call placebos and nocebos in medicine, right? Because the placebo is you take a pill that doesn't do anything and it cures you. Mm-hmm. And nocebo is you take one and it hurts you. Yes. And it's all based on what you believe subconsciously they'll do, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and that's, but at the same time, besides the placebo, nocebo, there's still a brain activity entrainment. You can measure the deep delta. You can measure somebody in theta. You can measure when somebody's in beta or alpha, whatever it may be. So right. You can actually measure that and where the brain is in entrainment. So you could monitor, if you had your electrodes on, you could monitor being put into deep delta through this frequency machine. So it's not just a placebo effect or nocebo effect. It's actually, you could see the change of being put into a different.
Well, I'm saying that creates the placebo effect.
Oh, I see. Saying yes.
Which opens up interesting possibilities. Because what if the subconscious decided that the placebo was going to do all kinds of amazing things?
Yeah.
Or seriously. What if it decided that other people's behavior was going to get into harmony?
Uniting intentions. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if they don't want to join and be part of it consciously, I'm really interested in the resonance possibilities.
Sure.
If you're really coherent in what you're projecting, then what I've seen, and I wonder if you've noticed this too, is that you get a certain amount of harmony in your own field, and people around you who are not in harmony, maybe combative or doing things like that, tend to either disappear or change.
Honestly, they fall out of your frequency. You know, I agree. And it's funny, if we were personally consciously documenting how we feel and think and how that changes, because it often is a common theme of, you know, some people could be depressed for a day, some people could be depressed for a month. And if you can measure your thoughts that are coming in and out of yourself consciously, right? Mm-hmm. And even on a subconscious level, overall kind of feeling a theme, you can start measuring the outcome of what you're experiencing. You can see people dropping out of your lives, new people coming in based on the level of your thought patterns are. And so that's another great way to verify that your thoughts create your reality, because now you're actually doing your own experiment, your own measuring of how you're feeling and thinking, and then what's actually happening to you.
I think so that would be a kind of a specialized journal, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be a specialized journal. It's your, and in fact, we created a specialized journal too, where you could actually measure, create intentions, and you can measure the relax. It's called our seeds of intention, and you could actually it's like a planet. You keep your daily task and all that, but on the other side, you create your intention. You could actually measure intentions manifesting each other. We call it our manifesting tree. You know, where are you on expectancy? Definitely not maybe, you know, not maybe, not likely. And right. You can measure when you're on a definitely, and if it manifests, you could jot it down. And if you're on a not likely, it may not manifest the way you're wanting it to. So you could absolutely measure and experiment with that as well. I love things like that. And you're absolutely right. You hit it around the nose.
So you're talking about actual science the way it should be.
Absolutely. But it's not science in the sense you're doing a double blind or you're doing using the scientific method, measuring and but what you do, because you can't, you think about it.
Well, you can't narrow it down to one variable.
No.
Hold everything else the same.
But you could do your own science on you, your own science on your thoughts, and then what happens to you.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of great books out there that share that. Ways of doing that. And to me, that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what the scientists think. What's going on in your life? What's
is it going to create good results or not, right?
Yeah, exactly. And if you know, and what's neat about that, and I did this experiment and part of our I wrote down an intention, and it was, I pulled something where I was at a not likely will happen, and I marked it. And it was my son losing his wallet like 6 months earlier. And I said, you know, and my son loses everything, right? You know, loses his head, loses on his neck, right? So I said, I put it on there. I said, okay, I'm going to manifest Tommy finding his wallet. And I put it, I'm at a not likely. And then you work on it like, well, you know, this manifestation process works. I bet he could do it. And I moved it up to a maybe. And long and behold, maybe it was like 3-4 weeks later, he finds his wallet in our poker room, sitting on a shelf up there. Now, was there the whole time? Yeah. What could it have been, you know, out of the field? I don't know. Whatever it could have been. But all I know is he found it himself in there, and I created that. I created and I checked it off like, wow, okay, that was manifested. Exactly. And me having that experience, right? This is important, Richard. Me knowing that I believe, at least I believe I knew, that I manifested Tommy finding his wallet to whatever degree, whether that sounds insane or not, gave me the confidence to be doing that with other things. And I raised that up. So expectancy is very important. This is why I say intentions are knowing that hasn't happened yet. You got to know, like, you know, you're going to bed tonight. So you're going to wake up in the morning. And so when you know something's going to happen, you're expecting it. When you're expecting it, you're manifesting it. And that's where I think we got to look at. It's a knowing more so than it is anything when it comes to the power of intentions.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Have you heard of somebody named Dr. Bengston, B-E-N-G-S-T-O-N?
No, I sure have not.
He did a really interesting experiment that's right about what you're talking about, but in a dramatic way that was ignored, but I think it was very significant. He was working with expectation, like you said, and trying to get it onto an emotional level rather than a picture that he felt nothing about. And he wanted to apply it in a medical or a health sense. So he was connected to a university. I forget which one, but they had access to mice that, you know, important safety tip, don't get born as a lab animal in this particular age. But they were, and they get injected with this chemical that causes the equivalent of human breast cancer. And they've done it to so many thousands of mice, they know how many days before they start suffering and dying and how long it's going to take to die and the whole thing. So he got a hold of a cage of, I don't know, 10 mice or something that had all been injected with this stuff. And they knew exactly how many days before they all died and stuff like that. And he started doing an experiment just by himself with imagining that they all got better. And nothing happened until he got the exact right emotional connection for him, which is imagining he and his lab assistant sitting around a table in a restaurant. This is in the old days when people actually went to restaurants.
Sure.
And they were drinking champagne and celebrating because all the mice got better. And he sank into that emotion of the celebration and what it was for. And the next day, all the mice were cured. And he repeated this over and over, and he taught other people to do it. And he looked for people that didn't believe in it and thought it was nonsense. And he taught them how to focus on the emotion of celebrating the success. And they did it, and the mice got better. And I guess nobody ever noticed. But
you know, yeah, it's fascinating. You see that, I think, was it Amato? I can't remember the Japanese monk who
Emoto, the water god.
That's it. Who did the positive intentions, the water crystals, and how they would line up to be more symmetrical when positive and asymmetrical when negative. You know, think about that. We're made up of mainly water. Most of us are.
That's right.
And so if that could have that effect on there, then our thoughts have an effect on our each individual cells. It's a pretty phenomenal idea and reality to really understand the level of power our thoughts have on our body.
Yeah, most of what's going on in the world, we don't see any of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember that movie, the water movie or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
And the most powerful emotions that they projected at these jars of water were love and gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me, you know, most of people's food is primarily water, you know, certain different levels of water content. Remember how they used to talk about saying grace? Well, maybe it wasn't just a bunch of words.
Yeah. Or like in the Jewish culture, how, you know, you pray over your food, your kosher food, right? Yes. Maybe there's something to that now, you know.
Originally, they probably knew what they were doing.
Yeah, exactly. You know, taught by whoever. But you know, it's funny about those experiments, you know, where the worst ones. I think there was a rice experiment. They put positive intentions with rice and negative intentions. But the one that the rice turned bad the quickest was the one that was ignored. Was no positive negative intentions in that.
That was amazing.
Think about that. How just ignoring someone or something that you're not, you don't matter.
And what are we doing to other people and our own bodies? And you know, most things we're ignoring actually when you're not very conscious.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's amazing just in itself. I mean, if we could apply that to everything, I mean, and there are some people who say that all forms are life forms. They're all alive in some way.
Everything has consciousness.
Yeah, even if it doesn't look like a human, it doesn't mean that it's a thing.
Yeah,
I mean, an inanimate object, so to speak, that doesn't have anything going on in it. So, and have you heard about the system that they used that originated apparently in Hawaii called Ho'oponopono?
Yes. I love that. In fact, forgiveness, thankfulness, and what else was there? One other one.
I love you. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Please forgive me and thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he cured a hospital supposedly of all these mental patients and without seeing any of them in person.
So they didn't have to do it themselves.
No, he did it. And this was what's really interesting is that they called him for, according to this story, I can't verify if it's true, but he went to this hospital where all the patients were getting violent and attacking the staff and everything. And they gave him the files of the patients, not in-person meetings. And he made contact with the feeling of each patient through the file. And he said these things like I just mentioned. But he was able to put himself into the feeling of it and with the understanding that he was responsible for the damage.
See,
all recovered.
To people hearing that for the first time, they're like, well, that's just crazy talk, right? But there's something to this frequency, matching. I mean, there's a lot of new equipment in the health field coming out, you know, from Tesla's work, that where you could have a frequency of a virus, like a lot of these homeopathic doctors are using, that, you know, you can have a frequency of a virus and you can match it with one that's a healthy frequency, and it can, you know, it creates a healing aspect without ever physically touching someone.
Exactly.
You know, you can measure what's wrong in somebody's body by looking and comparing it to some antibody. So if it's not, and a lot of times they use muscle testing on that, where if it's not matching that frequency, then it's probably not true because your unconscious mind knows everything, right?
Yeah. And so this is what's behind the Rife machine and things like that. Right?
Yeah, the Zyto machine with the measuring your hand on there, and the Healy's coming out. I got one coming in on that. That's all frequency healing, you know. And to me, it's why not? I mean, if thought and emotions cause disease, if it truly is true, where when we have suppressed or repressed issues or traumatic experiences, and those that energy frequency gets stored somewhere in our body tissue, whatever it may be, and eventually, if it's never released, it materializes and creates more of a disease, then why not deal with this on an energetic level before it becomes manifested into an actual physical level?
That's right. And actually, the difference between those two is not so obvious, because the physical body is really not as solid as it looks, right? I mean,
well, ask Neo that. He'll tell you that we're nothing what we see. And all we are, like, I'm looking at you now, you're looking at me, and we feel flesh and all this stuff. But it's only because our five senses are interpreting that way through our brain.
Exactly.
If we really looked at each other, I believe we would be like in the Matrix when Neo stopped the bullet and he sees everyone green and floating and 99.9% empty space energy.
Exactly.
And that's,
I don't know if you remember, in elementary school they gave us these little models of an atom with they were like Tinker Toys, you know, with wooden balls and connected with sticks going into holes in the balls and stuff. And it was about this big, and it had a ball in the middle, and the balls around the outside were the electrons. And that scale was wrong. The scale actually is like a grain of dust in the middle, and way, way out, you know, 100 yards at the edges are a few other grains of dust moving almost the speed of light. And it's almost all empty space.
Yes. Actually, it's a great analogy I saw in one of the movies was, if you look at an atom, you know, or a molecule atom, let's say, and if you blew it up to the size of Earth, the nucleus would be the size of a apple, right?
Okay.
And then the electrons would be rotating, revolving around the Earth, and they would be the cherries. They'd be the size of a cherry. Those would be the electrons. Everything else would be empty space in the Earth. So
right.
That gives you the little example of why really what's going on, the neutrons, protons, and you know how big empty space really is. And we're finding out it's not empty space, it's energy. And it's not just energy, it's data energy, it's power energy, it's information energy, it's information.
Yeah.
And, light information, you know, and there's such a whole new world out there when you really start breaking it down, when you get into that level of energy. It's
you take it farther and everything is filled with consciousness.
Yeah, exactly, right?
The origin of light and all that stuff, you know.
Well, Einstein said,
pretty interesting.
God in the molecule.
Yeah. So since we're almost at the end here, what do you expect to happen tomorrow besides your talk? Are there others that you're going to? And I will remind people to get to hear your talk by signing up for the live stream as well.
Absolutely. Well, let me, I'm, you know, it sounds a little grandiose, but I really truly believe I'm looking at a blueprint that I truly believe that will be able to stop what's happening right now by engaging citizens, once again, back into interacting and protecting their freedoms with each other, and not relying on a president, not relying on a Congress, not relying on anyone else other than each other at this point. And I believe how we're going to go about this is really the only way through this, because the vision I said earlier is the only tool that the banker cartels have. And unity is our really only tool that we have. And so now, finally, the organized lie may have some competition against the unorganized truth. Mm-hmm. If the truth becomes organized, they're in big trouble.
Oh yeah, it would be all over. And you know, a lot of people think that if it's positively all over, it means we attack and destroy the bad guys. But the way I see it is that if you really have it together, you wake up the bad guys, and they end up being saved by their so-called enemies.
Listen, you know, I believe we're all spiritual beings. The best of us and the worst of us are spiritual beings having a human experience here.
That's right.
Many of us might have forgotten that in our connection to a higher power.
But
it doesn't matter. We are all in the same boat. Some more awoke, some more realizing that they are of God and connected to that level of spirit. Some have no idea. They're totally disconnected. Nevertheless, we're all the same. And I agree.
Yeah.
It's about waking each other up than condemning or eliminating people who are not awake to that reality.
Yeah, well, the effect on them would be to wake them up, hopefully, right?
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to be doing tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern time.
Eastern.
Here. Okay. Yes, Eastern time.
So get up early if you're in Pacific time.
Yes, absolutely.
It'd be
Jekyll Island, where it all started, the Federal Reserve, right here in Jekyll Island.
Right, exactly. Lots of inspiring people.
Absolutely.
So,
shifting the energy here in Jekyll Island. So instead of being such a negative creation,
exactly,
we can bring a positive creation here and neutralize it. That's our goal.
Right. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So redpillexpo.org live stream is right there. I think there's a note near the top of the page that says how to do it.
Yeah. And go to uimedianetwork.org. You can sign up through that way as well. Uimedianetwork.org. And check it out. I think you'll enjoy some of the things we have in store for you all.
Yeah, sounds great. So it'd be fun to have a report later if you feel like coming back at some point.
Absolutely. You and I will have to talk about many, many things.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, well, have a good rest of the night.
Thank you.
We'll see you soon.
All right. Thank you, Richard. Bye.
All right, see ya. Okay, guys, that was Tim Ray, the founder of UI Media Network, and at uimedianetwork.org. And remember to go either there and or redpillexpo.org. And if you want to be there for Tim's presentation tomorrow virtually. You can get there through the live stream option at redpillexpo.org. And he's doing some really important work. I think it's rare in my experience to run into somebody who is working directly on the frequency issue. And it, as much as it looks, you know, crazy or impossible to people who are not familiar with it, in my experience, it's just the opposite. It's the most, you know, at least one aspect of the most powerful approach that we have available. And if more of us get in touch with it, then even this late in the game, when it looks like things are really dark in the future and all that, it could still be turned around, and it doesn't take that many people. So I would say, you know, I just met Tim a couple days ago for the first time, and I still have to look at what the shows on his network. I want to do that. It looks like it's going to be really worthwhile to stay in touch with him. And then our work to do something really not too dissimilar, but specific out of the work that I've done over many decades to put this into practice and get it so that a small number of us can have a really deep effect on the direction that the whole rest of the world is going. That project is going on at planetaryhealingclub.com, planetaryhealingclub.com. And in fact, we meet live and interactive, and I'm there every week, and so is Doug. And that's 30 minutes after the end of this program, and you're invited if you want to go. But it's a private meeting, and you can get in through one particular entry portal, which is planetaryhealingclub.com. The other thing is that we have our Sunday shows tomorrow night, as usual. Those are really interesting, and we've got educational and inspiring guests, and that's all free, and you're welcome to come. That's every Sunday at 6 o'clock Pacific time, 9 o'clock Eastern, and all the links to many platforms that airs on is at lostartsradio.com. A lot of interesting stuff at that site, too, for you to look at. If you want to help us keep on the air, because we don't run commercials or anything, as you might have noticed during the show, I don't want to push anything that's not because, you know, I just don't want to recommend it because I think it's good. And if something turns out to be not as good as I thought, I want to say, don't get that. So we don't do commercials. But if you have the means to support us staying on the air and doing all the projects that we've got on hold because of lack of funds or waiting for funds right now, you can support us if you want to at lostartsradio.com. There's a donate button, lostartsresearchinstitute.org also. That's our nonprofit that runs everything. And subscribestar.com/lostartsradio. You can also stay in touch with us at brighteon.com. That's Mike's site that doesn't censor, and it's a really good one to be connected to, brighteon.com/channel/lostartsradio. And you can subscribe to our channel there for free. I think that's most of it. We're in an important time right now, and your internal mental emotional state is really critical to what happens in the future. You know, as individuals, we're walking around being told that we're insignificant because we're so small. We're one out of 7.8 billion people, and there's nothing we can do, and we need experts to run our lives and all this stuff. We're being told that because the opposite is true, and you have this vast power to make this gigantic contribution to the future of humanity and the world, and all you have to do is wake that up. So that's what we're suggesting, and those of you who want to be at our meeting in half an hour, planetaryhealingclub.com. Otherwise, look at all the free stuff. We got hundreds of videos that are posted. And we just want you to take care of yourself because you're really critical for the future of all life on Earth. And we have to shake off this limited idea that we can't do anything and realize it's the opposite. And we came here knowing that we could do this, and we just kind of got out of touch with it and forgot for the moment. But we can get the memory back anytime and get back to our work. And this kind of work is not like going to work for drudgery, stress, horrible type work that you're in a job that you don't like and things like that. This is like the work that wakes you up and gives you your energy back and your enthusiasm and your purpose and all that stuff. And that changes everything. So I'm just encouraging you. realize your value, take care of yourself. It's the best way to take care of everybody else. And thanks for meeting Tim with me. I appreciate it. We'll look forward to seeing you here next time. Have a good week.
Introducing Lost Arts Radio on Subscribestar.com. Just go to Subscribestar.com/Lost Arts Radio to find our rewards program, offering 10 different giving levels starting at just $5 a month. We offer incredible value for any rewards level, from extra monthly interview videos not available publicly to subscription-based Planetary Healing Club videos once, twice, or three times a month, to private counseling sessions with Lost Arts Radio host Richard Sachs, to tech help with me, Doug Diamond. We even have one option where you can be the star on Lost Arts Radio as our guest on a specially produced show just for you. We conduct an interview with you and broadcast it to our growing network and listenership. Our Subscribestar levels are one of a kind and offer great rewards for any budget. Please help support Lost Arts Radio. We can't do it without you. With increasing censorship on many of our channels, we really need your support today to keep doing what we're doing. As Richard says, we're not even at survival level yet. Lost Arts Radio has three weekly shows. Lost Arts Radio Live each Saturday night at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, which is a live stream currently on multiple platforms in case we get banned from some of the larger ones. Right now, we're on two YouTube channels, Facebook Live, Periscope, which is Twitter, Twitch, and DLive. You can access these broadcasts by going to www.lostartsradio.com/live for all the links to those channels. The Planetary Healing Club meets right after Lost Arts Radio Live at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturday nights. And our Sunday show with guests airs at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights on our Blog Talk Radio channel, our YouTube channels, Facebook pages, and on Brighteon. Be sure to sign up for our free email list just in case we do get banned on big tech's platforms. It's just a matter of time, really. They don't like the stuff we talk about, and they do not want the truth out there. In fact, they have already attacked us numerous times. Join our free email list so we can let you know where we are and how to access our shows. The sign-up button is right on the top right on most pages of our website. The best starting point for all things Lost Arts Radio is our main site, lostartsradio.com, where you can find the hottest new selection videos that we curate just for you. Those are on the homepage and added to daily, as well as articles and breaking news about information you really need to know. Our show archives, the 10 most recent shows, are right on our homepage, as well as our Blog Talk Radio page at blogtalkradio.com/lostartsradio, or just click the All Things Radio Show tab right on our website. We're in the podcast directory on iTunes, and all of our shows except the banned ones are on our YouTube channels at Lost Arts Radio and at Diamond Disc. Our Brighteon page is really taking off, and we often have editors' picks videos right on their homepage. Visit Brighteon.com/channel/Lost Arts Radio. On our site, you can also access our free listener forum as well as sign up for the Planetary Healing Club, which is just $25 a month, where you get private access to a one-on-one interaction with host Richard Sachs and myself and the other club members who participate live. More info can be found at PlanetaryHealingClub.com. We're providing solutions in there to make the world a better place. Come join us. Thanks again for listening to and supporting Lost Arts Radio. We love having you as part of our family to learn, experience, and grow with.